I understand completely. I've already had the paperwork drawn up on the off chance you agreed. Well, Anna did, actually. She was already miles ahead of me on this one. All you have to do is sign, and you're a free lady, Alec said, pointing to the paperwork on the desk. Holly looked from him to the desk, and then back to him. I'll sign, she said finally. Alex felt a small pang inside. There was a worry there now, a kernel of doubt. Once I get everything from them, do I have to send them away? If that's the case, what will I be left with in the end but a never-ending need to fill a crystal? Chapter 28. In the end, Alex hadn't waited for a return missive from the Duchess. He'd simply sent the note, then left a day later. There'd be no point in waiting, and even less in expecting her to be able to respond quickly. No, this was quicker, easier, and with less worry. Or so he told himself, right up until Carla had forced herself onto a horse to join him. After throwing up for the second time after an hour, she actually seemed like she was doing better as they rode fast down the roads. Keeping his party to something small and swift, they made excellent time, much to the concern of everyone other than him when he got to the room and immediately fell asleep like the dead. Master, are we sure this is the best idea? I don't think it is the best course of action, Valeria said, eyeing him from across the room. As far as we know, the Duchess only arrived day before yesterday, along with your messenger. That's why we waited a day before we announced our presence. And here we are. I don't think she would have agreed to see us if she was angry, Alex said, indicating the waiting area they were in. Carla and Valeria had been taking turns telling him how bad an idea this all was, most especially since he'd amended their plan when they'd arrived. The three of them would travel on to see the king if the Duchess didn't honor the duel he'd had with the Count of Ridge. Is there a reason you're bent on doing this now? Carla asked. Yes, too, there is. I don't want to give Ridge time to recuperate. I'll take a chunk from him, or all of him, now. Waiting just gives an enemy time to get back on his feet. I've seen you club a corpse in the back of the head, you know, too. You don't differ in opinion. Carla frowned, then shrugged her shoulders. True enough. You're not supposed to agree with him, Valeria said, peering up at the other woman standing beside her. He's not wrong. I don't want them getting back up. As if you'd do anything different, Carla accused. Valeria opened her mouth, then shut it. Then she shrugged as well. Fair. This just seems like a foolish idea, though. It isn't, Alex said decisively. They're all hurt. We're not. If anything, we've nearly doubled our military capacity. Using it to our advantage right now is the proper leverage. Waiting any longer will only tip them off to the change, and they'll increase their own troops. Carla and Valeria both said nothing after that, and the silence settled over them. It's your turn tonight, Carla said, smashing the silence as quickly and abruptly as she could. What? Valeria squawked. It's still your turn from last time. You never ended up doing anything. Anna kicked us all out, Carla said. Valeria pressed a hand to her brow. Why do you all insist on tossing each other at him? Because it isn't our turn. Valeria looked at him and pointed her finger. This is because you keep hiring commoners. The next number better be a lady, or so help me, I'll make your life hell somehow. No offense, too. I think you're rather lovely for a commoner. Carla didn't even bat an eye. None taken. I've killed more of your kind than I'm sure is my due. You're pretty easygoing for nobility. The Duchess will see you, Count Alex. She's requested your guards remain here, said a liveried man at the door. Oh, thank Leah. Alex got up and left without even addressing the man, simply signaling him to lead the way with a hand. The corridors and hallways passed quickly, leaving Alex in a situation that Carla would later flog him for if she found out. He had no idea how far they'd gone, or where his guards were. "Sir," said the man, opening a door. Alex went through and found himself in a rather cozy receiving room. "Count Britt, I'm afraid you've come faster than I expected," called Regina from a small table filled with a light lunch setting. "Or even faster than I dare say would be polite." "I do have my reasons, Duchess," Alex said, bowing at the waist to her. She'd done nothing wrong to him in any way so far, and deserved a modicum of respect. Right up until she did what he expected her to, deny him his victory. "I suspect," she said, pointing at the chair across from herself as she fussed with a teacup, "this has something to do with that duel Father spoke of." "That it does, Duchess," Alex said, taking the indicated seat. "I wanted to seek your either approval to commit to war against the Count of Ridge, or your upholding of my victory over him and granting me his title." The Duchess froze, her cup halfway between the table and herself. After a single beat, she finished the motion, taking a delicate sip. Alex touched nothing on the table. He had no intention of being sidestepped, and wouldn't even allow an inch on this. "I see," Duchess Tanoff said, folding her hands in her lap. "You put us in an awkward position." "Not as I see it, Duchess. It was an appropriate duel, witnessed by the entire vassalage of the Duke, and approved by himself. The conditions, the means, and even the act itself. If there has ever been such a sanctioned action previous to this one, I'd love to see it." "So I was told," the Duchess muttered, shaking her head. "No, I'm not speaking of the duel. I'm speaking of upholding it. Count Ridge is a bitter pill, so to speak. As the Duchess, I'd love nothing more than to simply uphold your win. But at the same time, he has a strong hold in affection within our holdings that I cannot ignore. The moment I agree to uphold the victory, they would rally against myself and you. My father was not a tactical man, as evidenced by his demise. I'll be rebuilding my army for the foreseeable future. I'm afraid that I will not recover as quickly as my vassals will either. Then simply approve of my victory and ask the Count to hand his title over. Doing that much would be enough for me, Duchess. I can pursue the matter beyond that." Regina immediately shook her head, not even considering the idea, he thought. "No, our duchy is now at the mercy of Galus. It's only because of that stopgap fortress you threw together that they aren't ransacking our lands now. We must consolidate, rebuild."
"As you like, then."
Alex nodded his head once to her. "As you will," he said, neither agreeing or disagreeing. "As you're here," Regina continued, clearly looking to change the subject, "I heard that you're no longer married to the nobility. Your marriage was granted a divorce?"
"Indeed. I'm afraid I dallied, as men at war are wont to do. She forgave me, but couldn't look at me the same way. I offered her an exit, and she took it."
"Awfully serendipitous. Her family squirms out from under their debt. You avoid the king's attempt to corner you, and she gets a free pass after a throw or two in your bed. One would almost imagine it was all planned," Regina said, smiling at him.
"If I'd planned it, I wouldn't be married at all."
"One would argue a marriage with a commoner is by no means an actual marriage, but that's beside the point. My condolences at your failed union. I do hope your next goes more smoothly," Regina said.
"Well, we more or less saw that coming, though it's a surprise how quickly she seems to want to move on it. We'll need to curb that somehow in the future."
"Thank you, Duchess. I'm sure I'll manage." Valeria and Carla were packing up for their morning departure. After Alex finished his meeting with the Duchess, there wasn't much point in remaining.
Alex sat on the edge of the sofa in the room they were renting. It was a nice inn, certainly fit for traveling members of the peerage, but it was still a room at an inn.
"Are you sure about seeing that dumbass of a king we serve?" Carla asked, cinching up her saddlebags tightly.
"I do have to seek permission from the next in line for the claim to be valid.
I think, so long as I present it to him in a way that conveys I'll go to the Emperor next, he'll agree. I doubt anyone would want a count in their kingdom going to the Emperor over a matter such as winning a duel."
"I should think not. That'd be like a burgher coming to you to talk about a problem with a neighbor," Valeria said, shaking her head. "That'd do no one well at all in the entire situation."
"And yet it's what I must do. I cannot let this pass. This is a perfect opportunity," Alex said.
"Especially if I manage to capture any of his family members. Then I can swing hard for the fences and hope I get that crystal pillar filled faster than a tax collector's sack. Or bed."
Carla stood up and put her hands on her hips, inspecting her belongings. "I don't think I was quite ready for this trip, but I'm glad I went. Cleared my head," she said. "Was a good way to write everything inside."
"Is that what you call tossing up your innards all over the road while riding?" Valeria asked, fiddling with something in her own pack.
"Speaking of throwing up," Carla said, turning to look at Valeria with an evil grin, "do be sure to service our master appropriately. If I don't miss my guess, I think it's your knees you'll be working out tonight."
Valeria closed her eyes, then dropped her head with a grunt. "Suppose I deserved that," she muttered.
Alex simply nodded his head with a smile, agreeing wholeheartedly with the entire direction of the conversation. "See? Master agrees," Carla said, pointing at Alex as he nodded. Valeria looked to him with an annoyed pout. "Here, I'll even help you out," Carla said suddenly. She snatched a belt out of her pack and held it loosely. Before Valeria could react, the bigger woman closed in on her, shoved her to the ground face first, and stomped a foot down on her shoulders.
"Give me those bird-like hands," Carla growled, snatching at Valeria's fingers.
Valeria squirmed, trying unsuccessfully to fight off the ex-bandit. A minute later, and Carla had tied up Valeria's hands behind her back.
"There, been a bit since I had to do that," Carla said, inspecting her work. "That'll hold for at least an hour."
Moving around to the front of her, Carla pulled Valeria's dress down until she was completely exposed from her navel to her chin. The fabric gathered at her elbows and waist.
"That should do it. Anything else I can do for you, master?" Carla asked, looking up towards Alex.
"No, that was rather skillfully done. Just bring her over here," Alex said, motioning to the two women.
"Master," Valeria panted out between breaths, her hair mussed and her eyes with a skittering look to them. "Maybe I could."
Carla grabbed the woman by the shoulder and her wrists, marched her over to Alex, and dropped her there in front of him. "I'll finish up with her gear and then hit the sack. Let me know if I need to rough her up again," Carla said, then went over to Valeria's pack.
Alex leaned down to one side to peer up into Valeria's face.
"Same safe word as last time? Or just standing up, maybe?" Alex asked.
Valeria didn't immediately respond. Then she nodded her head a bit.
"Be a dear three and repeat the word for me."
"Red," she said softly.
"Good."
Alex stood up right in front of Valeria, unfastened his pants, and unbuckled his belt. Letting his trousers hit the ground, he sat back down on the sofa and settled in comfortably.
He reached out and sank his fingers into the hair behind Valeria's head, guiding her downward.
He maneuvered her head until her cheek was resting on his inner thigh, his slowly hardening member hanging before her face.
"So," Alex started, his free hand carding through her hair, "you're going to do your best, and if your best isn't enough, I'm going to do it for you. And when you've finally gotten your prize,
I expect to see you enjoy it to the last drop. And if you throw up, we'll start over again in an hour, after you've cleaned up your own sick. Any questions?
Valeria didn't respond, her eyes locked to his now fully erect member.
Grand, he said. His left hand curled into the hair atop her head, and he grabbed himself with his right. Before she could respond, he simply pushed it into her mouth up to the halfway point.
Get to work, three, Alex said, letting go of her hair and leaning back.
Valeria sat there for only a second before she shuffled herself around, getting properly positioned between his knees, all the while not letting him fall from her mouth, nor looking up at him.
Alex let out a soft sigh at the feel of her tongue and soft lips, and truly relaxed into the sofa. He let his eyes roll across her bare shoulders and chest, admiring her figure and form from where he sat. Slowly, Valeria moved her head down, her lips tightening up around his girth. He could feel her tongue sliding up around the sides of his length as she went.
That's definitely a good start, three, Alex said, laying his right hand down atop her head, but not guiding or forcing her in any way. Glancing up as Valeria started to pull her head back, he caught Carla watching from the other side of the room. Before she could turn away, he held up his left hand to her in a stop signal. Then he pointed to a chair nearby.
You get to watch. Maybe you're the voyeur amongst the group. You or one.
Valeria slurped loudly on his tip, causing Alex to look back at her, only to catch her sneak a glance up at him as she started to move back down his shaft. Out of the corner of his eye, he watched Carla sit down where he'd indicated, her eyes fastened to him. Languidly, Valeria started to bob her head up and down from hilt to head. She gave him her full attention, her tongue scrubbing at him as her mouth pulled at him. He couldn't help himself when he started to pull at her head a bit, trying to speed her up. Her eyes moved from his crotch up to his face at the insistent pulling of his hand, but she didn't speed up.
Ah, you want it rough. That's fine. That fits your need.
Grabbing a handful of her hair, he began to force her head up and down. Valeria groaned, but didn't fight in the least, her neck and shoulders providing no resistance against his control. Using one hand, he made her work faster. He made sure to pull her all the way down, her nose pressing to his abdomen and his tip getting lodged in her throat. Valeria coughed once around him after he pulled her head back, but she again made no move against him or to try to stand up. Alex found himself enjoying not just the feeling, but watching her, using her. He was fascinated as drool and pre-cum dripped from her chin, down along her throat, and onto her chest, straight down her cleavage. Reaching out with his other hand, he took a handful of hair on both sides of her head and began to push her faster each time. Her breathing became erratic as he worked her, soft grunts coming from her as he pushed himself down her throat. Groaning, Alex realized he was at that point. Standing up quickly, he kept hold of Valeria while thrusting into her face at the same time.
Want it? He asked, staring down at her upturned face.
She nodded her head a bit, or at least he thought she did.
Then she moaned deeply in a way that tickled his spine.
Pulling himself partway back to give her a chance to do as he'd instructed, he felt himself hit the point of no return, and came. His fingers tightened in her hair, and he could feel her pulling at him, even moving her head back and forth a bit on her own as she sucked on him. With each pull of her lips, he could feel another spasm as his seed filled her mouth. Letting out a slow, shuddering breath as his climax started to fall to the downswing, he looked over to Carla. She was watching intently, her hands clasped tightly in each other. Her eyes went from Valeria to him as she realized he was looking at her. Shuddering, Alex finished, though Valeria kept working at him, her lips and tongue pulling and suckling, as if she thought she could get more from him. Three, go ahead and turn your head to show two your prize. Then claim it so she can watch, Alex said, pulling himself out of her mouth before she made him hunch over from the extra attention. He was just too damn sensitive afterward, and she didn't seem to know to stop. Flopping down onto the sofa, he watched as Valeria blushed a deep scarlet, her head slowly turning to one side. When she saw Carla sitting there, he imagined her poor little pain jockey's heart probably had a fit. I'll need to take care of her sexually in an hour or so, or she'll never forgive me. Alex grinned as Valeria opened her mouth at Carla, then visibly swallowed. It's certainly more fun here in this life, and about 30 times more scary as well. With a satisfied sigh, Alex closed his eyes and sank into the sofa. Chapter 29 Alex was sitting in a private waiting room. Again. They'd set out almost immediately the following morning, moving at a breakneck speed, to the point that Alex wondered if he'd need to sell the horses and buy new ones, rather than try to ride them back to Brit. He didn't think they'd recover by the time they were ready to roll out again. This time, however, they'd prohibited Valeria and Carla from even joining him here in the waiting area. He'd been left alone with his thoughts, waiting for a private meeting with the king. It had been surprising when the king had agreed to grant him an audience that wasn't in front of the court. Which means either the king wants something from me, wants to speak plainly, or is afraid of something I do that could make him look bad. But I have no idea which of the three is more concerning.
Count Britt, His Highness is ready for you, called a woman's voice. Looking up, he saw her standing in the archway that led into the king's private domain. Alex got up and nodded his head.
My thanks. Please lead on.
The woman turned and left the waiting area, and Alex fell in behind her. His Majesty just finished dealing with a most unfortunate case, said the woman. I'm sure he'll welcome speaking with a member of the peerage.
Oh? Alex asked curiously.
Yes. He just condemned a rather odious little man to death. A child molester, no less, said the woman, speaking as if it were a happy occurrence. Her words in sharp contrast to her speech.
I see, Alex responded, not quite sure how to respond.
Yes, it was all rather ghastly. A fat toad of a man by the name of Jim Popish. Apparently he had troubles in bed with his wife, and took it out on the local children.
Now Alex was somewhat alarmed. Maybe now isn't the best time to try and passively threaten the king. Then he shook his head once. Now or never.
Just as that thought crystallized, Alex found himself entering a garden-type area. The king was sitting on a bench, seeming the part of a man hiding. He was surrounded by his personal guard, who all seemed on edge.
Count Britt, the king said as Alex entered, please have a seat. I welcome you here. Skip the pomp and circumstance. No one to watch the two of us right now.
Nodding his head, Alex took the bench across from the king.
Thank you, Your Majesty, Alex said, unsure how to start the conversation.
Out with it, then, the king said, somewhat irritably. I assume this has something to do with transferring your vassalage to Tanulf.
Actually, no, it doesn't, Your Majesty, Alex said.
Oh? What was it you wished to speak of, then?
The king asked, his demeanor shifting immediately.
I entered a trial of combat with Count Ridge. The wager was our titles. The combatants were to be our champions, using fists. The late Duke Tanulf presided over it, approved it, and saw it fit to allow it to happen that very day, Alex said, keeping the story to the facts.
My champion defeated Ridge's. Outright. Ridge fled the scene rather than honoring his end of the bargain, and Duke Tenulf did not uphold my victory.
The king leaned away from Alex, his hands resting on his knees now. His eyes looked calculating, as if he were weighing the entire situation out as it was told.
I come to you now after seeking out Duchess Tenulf. She did not uphold my victory either, and I wish to ask you for permission to claim Casus Belli on both the Duchess and the Count. Though I only plan on acting on the Count for now, and merely seek to have your ruling on the Duchess's actions in a private way.
The king frowned, his mouth slowly tilting to one side. Then, abruptly, he shook his head and looked at Alex.
I have never had someone tell me so plainly their wish. I was expecting a lengthy story, but you've cut out all the wasted bits and left me with just the steak.
The king sighed.
I regret Tanulf's death, but it was of his own doing. As to his daughter not upholding your victory, I'm unsurprised.
Alex nodded at that, waiting.
I get the impression that you plan to make this an issue for Count Ridge, no matter what.
He's the one who tried to have me killed several times, Alex said.
Then he paused and pressed his fingers to the pin at his collar.
On my oath, I know this to be true. He tried to have me slain, which was the trigger for the trial at arms, which he lost.
The king's eyes closed, and he pressed his hands to his temples.
Well, I can certainly understand why you've set out on this course. I half imagine that if I decide to not uphold your claims, you'll move even above me.
Alex didn't respond either way. He didn't want to if he didn't have to.
You came here straight from the Duchess? The king asked.
Yesterday.
And your horses are nearly blown. Yes, you really would go over me if I didn't uphold this. Would you be satisfied for the time if I only upheld your claim to the Count publicly?
I would, though I would feel better if His Majesty could see fit to uphold my claim privately for the Duchess, for now. She and I could come to terms later on that would allow for a peaceful resolution. I'd prefer to have her as a friend than an enemy, and I have no designs on her title, Alex added in quickly at the end.
Fine. We'll draw up a public writ supporting your ability to go to war with Count Ridge for his title, the king said, waving a hand at nothing behind him. Was that truly it, though, Count Britt?
Yes, sire. I only sought vindication for my victory.
So be it, then. If you don't mind, I think I'll end this audience now. I'm not used to such frank conversation.
As you wish, Highness, Alex said, and bowed at the waist to the king. I thank you for your time.
The king waved him on, paying him no more attention than that. Now we just wait for the writ, and we move on it. Anna looked up from the table she was sitting at when Alex opened the door. Her face split wide into her simple smile when she saw him.
"Husband," she said, getting up quickly. She practically skipped to him.
Alex couldn't help but grin at the sight of a grown woman throwing sensibility out the window and bouncing her way to him like that. Then she was there, hugging tightly to him, her face pressed into his chest.
"How did it go?"
she asked, her voice muffled against him.
"The Duchess did nothing for us.
Daddy said she wouldn't in his most recent letter. She wants you to bet her, he thinks. She's pretty, but I don't like her, and I'd hate to have her as a wife," Anna said, thumping his chest lightly with a balled fist. "I'd never let you clean her up when you were done."
"Oh? Is that your way of having your revenge? Not letting me clean her up?"
"Yes," she said,
then lifted her head up to look at him.
"That, or I'd feed her mother's bane every day without her knowing."
"Well, aren't you spiteful?" Alex grinned at her. "I love it."
Anna pouted at him.
"The marriage wouldn't be bad for us, but I'd probably end up fighting her at every turn for seniority. You'd have to promise to treat me as the senior wife, or I'd I'd not hug you anymore, Anna said, nodding her head once.
Well, we can't have that now, can we? As far as the Duchess is concerned, I have no plan to marry her, so worry not. I'd rather not get involved in her politics.
Smiling at him again, Anna pushed her face back into his chest.
Daddy said you'd have to probably leave to go fight again.
How does your father keep so close to all this information? I haven't even met him, yet he somehow manages to know everything that's going on. On top of that, he slips in and out without me ever meeting him.
He's right, of course. I want to put Ridge in the ground before he can try again to do the same to me.
Okay. Holly left,
Anna said, her voice dropping in volume.
She said she'd write me, though.
It's all right. She wanted out, and you were right, Alex said, stroking her back tenderly.
I know. But now I have to work on finding you a wife of the peerage before someone tries to force it on you. I might hold a ball or two. Is that okay?
Sure, but I forbid you to spend any of your own money. And speaking of money, why did you buy so many coffins?
They were on sale,
Anna said, as if that explained everything.
Alex closed his eyes and said nothing. Several hours later, after getting Anna to promise not to purchase anything simply because it was on sale, Alex met with Dave, Max, Rudolph, and Dan in his study.
Gentlemen, we'll be attacking Count Ridge head-on. I have a writ of support from the king.
All four men nodded their heads.
Are we ready for this, though? We'll only have one chance to attack with the element of surprise before he has a chance to prepare or get his supplies together. How do we stand?
The other men turned to Max, who seemed to be considering his boots as they did so.
My lord, I rotated the company through the standing army and broke all the groups up. We now have an even level of veterans throughout, but they're not trained as units yet. The conscripts who signed on permanently, which was almost all of them, were equally dispersed throughout.
Max chuckled and held up his hands in front of himself.
Apparently your efforts to keep them alive, get them trained, and pay them for their service struck a chord. All that free equipment didn't hurt either, nor did you prohibit them from looting the enemy dead. All in all, quite a few came back, rather much more well-to-do.
Looting the dead, huh? I didn't even think of that.
The coinage we looted from them puts us well ahead of any type of pay concern, and the gear we took from the dead, the stuff we didn't give to the conscripts, helped to greatly offset our training costs,
Max said.
Alex nodded his head at all that, not quite sure if he was supposed to respond yet.
I suppose what I'm saying is we could go on the attack with a reasonable expectation of success. Did I miss anything?
Max said, lifting his head and looking to his lieutenants.
The mounted infantry has been working on becoming a cavalry, Dan said, as well as less than honorable activities. Consider me an inspired man by your order, sire.
Honor is a grand thing for the dead, and a poor substitute for winning to the living,
Alex said.
Good. Forgive me for the question, Dave, but I'd like to hire another company and integrate them the same way we did you. Any recommendations?
Sire, you want to expand the army again?
Max asked.
We have the finances for it, and an army can easily convert other resources into assets. Like, I don't know, taking over an entire county.
Afterward, we'll need that many men again to hold the new territories. I'd rather purchase our troops once rather than having to hire new guards afterward.
Dave and Dan were nodding their heads at that, but Max looked only partially sold on the idea.
While we're out in the field, I expect you all to raid military installations for supplies, but don't touch the citizenry. Not at all,
Alex said, putting steel into his voice.
They'll be our subjects after. We must win them over before the first sword strike falls. Is that clear?
Of course, sire, Max said.
The other men nodded their heads in agreement.
Dave,
Recommendation? Alex prodded.
That is, make sure they can work with you, as you'll be their senior in this, Alex said, wondering if he was concerned about who would be best versus who the best unit was.
Dave grinned at that.
I understand. Then I'd choose Powell's Cavaliers. They're mostly cavalry and heavy foot. They do have an entire unit of engineers, though. They'd be best for siege work and raiding, which it sounds like we'll be doing in equal measure. And I can work with Andrew. Have before.
Great. Get him a message as quick as can be. Have a backup pick in case he's already engaged elsewhere. Let's work through some planning now, unless you have something else you'd like to draw my attention to.
There was no dissension to that, so Alex pulled a map from beside him that he'd prepared in advance.
The County of Ridge is named for a literal ridge that runs through the middle of it, Alex said, smoothing the map out in front of everyone. Fortunately, or unfortunately, depending on how you look at it, we share a small border with Ridge. My understanding is it's actually a rather wide highway my family built back when we were still dukes, Alex said, pointing to the section of the map. That ridge splits them in half for us and puts the upper portion facing the wildlands to the south.
Most combat there has always been in the south. It'll be much harder to take, and will probably be his last holdout,
Max said, peering at the map.
Right. That's why we'll be hitting it first. Their outposts are all along the edge of the wildland borders. They don't have anything facing us, at least in the south. If we do this right, we can probably already be falling on the castle town of... I can't remember the name. Whatever it is. Before they know we're even in the county. And since we share such a small border with them, and a vassal of Galus is holding the other side, I doubt Ridge will be able to mount a counterattack into Brit. Just in case, I already dispatched an anonymous courier to Galus's vassal, warning them that Ridge might try to threaten their border.
Alex shrugged as he thought about it.
If it works out for us, great. If not, no loss. I'd like to keep your newly minted mounted cavalry in country, Dan, as a screening force, and to watch for any movement from Ridge, as well as to keep a supply train corridor open for us.
I'd love to see him try and take the road and hold it, Dan said. We'll just use hit-and-run tactics again. Harry them. Fire their supplies. Whittle them down till they bleed from everywhere. A monument to the stupidity of mankind, right?
Alex snickered at that.
Right. And with that in mind, I plan on having Powell's cavalry moving around the countryside to keep Ridge from having an easy time sieging us. If anything, I'd love it if he did. We could siege them as they siege us. That being said, plan to have 6 to 12 months of supplies taken into that city with the name I forgot before we get cornered. Plan to feed any civilians who get caught up with us as well. Ration everything.
Sire, Dave said, looking rather uncomfortable.
Yes, speak plainly. Tell me if I'm missing something or doing something stupid. Strategy, I understand. Tactics, I don't.
If anything, that comment just made Dave look even more frustrated. Do you think it that likely Ridge will do just what you said?
He doesn't exactly seem to have the most flexible mind, so yes. Though we'll not bet everything on that. Hence Powell and his cavalry in the field. And Dan with his people waiting just in case. Oh, and let's get another group of conscripts brought up to pad out our numbers. Maybe we'll get more recruits out of it again. Same contracts as last time. Unless there's something else, I'd suggest we all go about our business.
Alex looked to each man, then clapped his hands together.
Great. Thank you, gentlemen.
Getting up, each soldier filed out the door, none of them speaking or looking completely at ease. Valeria leaned forward beside him and rested an arm on his shoulder.
"They don't know what to make of you having us here, Master," she said, watching him from his side.
"And why's that, three?" Alex asked, glancing back over his shoulder. Riley, Carla, and Nanny were all there.
"We're women who they probably view as little more than your personal bed servants," Valeria said. "We even have numbers instead of names. We're not military advisors, and we contribute nothing to these meetings at all.
Well, they can get used to it. Now, I believe you all wanted me to look over your recruits tonight, Alex asked.
Ah, yes. I'll go first, since I only have two for now, Valeria said,
leaving his side to go to the door.
I haven't found my third.
We'll go next, Nanny said, smacking her wrist into Carla's side. Obviously, Carla said in return. One hired enough women from the dungeon that it actually looked only full instead of bursting. It'll take a while to get through them.
Alex didn't say anything, but rolled up the map instead. Master, these are the two I recruited. I think they'll serve quite well, Valeria said, getting his attention.
Looking up, Alex almost did a double take. Coffin? Alex asked, looking at the dark, wild-haired, cold-eyed woman standing there. The last he'd seen her, he'd put her back into a coffin in the dungeon.
Yes, said the woman, her voice oddly tense.
Her eyes shifted in every direction but to his, her head jittering a bit from side to side as she did so.
I'm the knife.
Alex looked to Valeria for any type of clarification. She's your new assassin. I don't think she'll be hard to train at all, Valeria said, tapping the woman on the shoulder. Then she tapped the second woman. She was rather mundane-looking in general. One might call her cute if she tried hard enough, but she looked more like she'd blend in with a crowd. And this is going to be my shadow. She'll be working in the background for the most part. They're just here to swear their oaths to you directly.
I'm the knife, said the dark-haired woman again. I'll make them die.
Looking to Valeria again, he raised his eyebrows. Valeria grinned at him and shrugged her shoulders.
The best tools are sometimes the broken ones.
As if you could talk.
Chapter 30
Anna was smiling at him, and Alex knew it was for show. It looked very similar to her normally wide and simple smile, but it didn't reach her eyes.
Anna, Alex said.
He reached up and tapped her gently in the middle of her forehead with a fingertip. It'll be all right. I'll return to you. I promise it.
Of course you will. That's not even worth mentioning, she said,
her smile remaining exactly as it was.
You don't have to be strong on my part. I know this isn't easy, and you haven't exactly had an ideal married life with me so far. I can promise you that after this, I'll settle down for a bit and try to stay home, spend a lot more time with you.
Anna's smile faltered, then shattered. You will? She asked, her voice becoming soft and brittle.
Yes, wife, I will. Be your normal self.
Do not put on this silly, brave, false face for me, Alex said, encouraging her. His fingertips lightly slipped through her silken hair, curling it behind her ear. Anna's face became a massive frown, and her big eyes immediately welled up in tears.
I love you. I miss you. Don't leave me, Anna said, cuddling in closer to him. I don't like it. Daddy said Mommy was brave to put up with him traveling all the time. I'm not. I'm not brave. Stay home with me.
Oh, my silly thing. Did you feel like this the first time, too? Alex said, enfolding his arms around her shoulders.
Uh-huh. I started crying as soon as you were gone and hid in our bed all day, Anna sobbed, her nose turning bright red as she started to cry more heavily.
Want to come with me? He asked suddenly, grinning at her.
I can't, she said.
But the corners of her mouth turned up in a tiny smile.
I have stuff I need to do. Daddy told me things to watch out for while you were gone to protect our home and to make money. I want to be a good wife and make you money.
She said it, then nodded her head once.
I'm not a trophy, she said sternly.
I never suspected you were, Alex said, still combing her hair gently.
No?
She asked, her eyes watching him for any sign of deceit, or so he thought. Beautiful like a trophy wife, but not a trophy wife. A trophy wife wouldn't have filled my dungeon with so many toys for me.
And thank you for that, by the way. It was very helpful. Keep it to one woman per cell, though, going forward, he said. Then he leaned forward and pressed a kiss to her lips. Now I need to go, dear. I'd like you to release Sylvia while I'm gone as well. Here's the letter freeing her and pausing all charges against her.
Conquered her?
Anna asked, her mind moving in that strange way it did.
Seemed like you did. I think the only reason she wasn't in your bed was you didn't force it. I think she would have given in.
Which is half the problem. If they're simply willing to do it, making them do it holds no value, Alex said, holding the folded paper out to her. Set her free for me. Tell her to behave and to not get in trouble again. That her oaths remain intact to me, except for her need to be pure. She can do as she likes.
And I don't have to see her leave when I get rid of her. Please do this for me. Please, please, please.
Okay, dear, Anna said, taking the paper. She pouted at him, her cheeks puffing out a bit. When you get back, can we make some deals together for the dungeon girls? I want to participate. It seems fun and challenging. And then you need to stay long enough to put a child in me.
Sure, hon. We can definitely work on the deals. Leah did promise you could make some on my behalf, after all.
And the baby?
Anna asked, her chin tucking to her chest, glaring at him. I'll be happy to try every hour until you're satisfied, he said with a grin. Anna's cheeks turned a deep red, her fingers tightening into his clothes.
I'm not satisfied. You can't leave yet, she said huskily.
This would be the point of no return, Max said, pulling his horse into Alex's side. Andrew is supposed to meet us here with his people tonight. We'll be moving out tomorrow morning.
He'll be ready? Alex asked.
Yes, sire. I warned him of your plan to move immediately. He's actually resting his troops nearby in your lands. He just wanted to keep out of sight so he wouldn't tip off our friends.
Delightful, Alex said, looking around. This would be the bit of border between himself and Count Ridge. Looking at it closely, it really did have the look of an old abandoned highway, one that had simply been grown over and left to fail.
I wonder how long it took to become this way.
It doesn't quite match the way it was described to me at all.
It was a highway, when your family had its ducal titles. In fact, that barony over yonder is a de jure vassal, Max said, reaffirming what Alex already knew.
Looking up, Alex followed the bend of Max's arm towards the distance. Set a ways out, a small keep was perched in such a way that it faced the north and east, and the south and west of it seemed more where a town would lie.
It was an outpost that protected the lands between, a military outpost, once. That'd be where I sent that letter you wanted to go.
Ah, and what's the family name? I imagine we'll be knocking on their door at some point and asking them to rejoin us as our vassal, Alex said with a lopsided grin.
Tilly, Max said after a moment of thought.
Turning in his saddle, Alex looked at the man to make sure he heard it right.
Tilly? Yes. Unfortunately, they're relatives to those we fought with directly, Max confirmed.
Mary?
Three, Alex said loudly.
Dressed as his campwoman, Valeria eased her horse up to his other side.
Yes, master, she purred at him,
living the role completely.
Is it the same woman?
Alex asked, leaning in close to her and keeping his volume low.
Yes. She'll not be a problem, though. I imagine she's being pressured by her uncle now that her husband is slain,
Valeria whispered, her left hand pressing to his shoulder. Riley popped into view on her own horse, trying to wedge herself up between Alex and Max. Her jealousy was getting the best of her again. Valeria's eyes flicked to Riley, then back to Alex, and then abruptly she leaned in and kissed him quickly. Alex sat upright in his saddle, pulling back from Valeria.
She did that just to piss off Riley.
Brat. They're worse than Nanny and Carla. Glancing to his other side,
He saw Riley pouting at him, her hands tight on her reins. She hadn't gotten good in the saddle very quickly, and they'd given her a slow and gentle mare.
Shall I send up a runner to see if anyone is home?
Max asked. He wasn't an idiot, and had somehow read between the lines. No, we'll just head up. Max, Dave, 1, 2, 3, 5, with me. Dan, I leave the army in your hands for now. If Andrew shows up, send him my way, Alex said, pulling his horse toward the keep.
Let's give Dan some time to shine. He's lived under his brother long enough.
Yes, sire. Of course, sire, Dan said, even as Alex was already riding towards the keep. Max was fumbling with something in his pack for a minute as they went. Eventually, he managed to pull out a white flag from his bags and tied it to his lance.
Ah, that makes sense. I wonder if she'll try to have me locked up.
This is actually a terrible idea, isn't it? That thought tormented Alex right up until the gates opened and he saw Mary and her niece, along with a handful of assistants and maids. Without guards, and seemingly not unhappy to see him.
Count Britt, Mary said, her arms folded across her chest. I'm surprised to see you.
She looked the same as he remembered her, maybe a touch more tired-looking, but the same. Her niece had aged a few years and looked much more like her aunt now.
War and conflict does that.
And why is that? Once I realized where your lands were, I set out immediately, Alex said, dismounting. I wished to see you, Baroness.
Mary's mouth twitched at that, and she let her arms fall to her sides.
Would you dine with us? I welcome you to my home for the evening, the Baroness said.
I accept, delightfully so. Would you quarter us for the night as well? We'll be gone in the morning, and I have news for you as well, Alex said, bowing at the waist to the Baroness in deference. Mary clicked her tongue, then froze in place.
I received a letter, now that you mention it. It was most curious, Mary said. Come, we'll retire to a private room and speak for a time before dinner. My niece will take care of your compatriots.
Alex fell beside Mary and walked with her. Neither party spoke, both apparently content to walk in silence. It wasn't until the door shut behind them, putting Alex in a room alone with the Baroness, that he felt any sense of awkwardness.
First, let me thank you for releasing my niece in the way you did. It was quite generous of you. You could have simply taken her with you, and there would have been little we could have done to retrieve her. Secondly, what are you here for exactly, Alex?
Mary asked, moving towards a table in the middle of the room. To wage war on Count Ridge. I plan on taking his land for my own.
That, and to see you, Alex answered immediately.
Honestly, he had nothing to hide from her. She had sworn to his secrets. Taking a seat at the table as his host did, Alex folded his hands together in his lap.
I see, Mary said, a smile forming.
Then she sighed, crossing her legs and rearranging her dress.
That'll just make my life even more difficult, regarding both issues. Ridge was one of the few who was willing to trade with my small holding.
Or would that be partially why you're here, to broker a new deal with me, as it were? I wouldn't mind attempting to talk myself into your bed, Mary, but I have no intention of causing you distress, either. You're not my enemy. I'm sure we can come up with a very reasonable trade deal for both of us.
Mary had apparently been holding her breath, which she now let out in a slow exhalation.
She wasn't half as collected as she was pretending to be.
I'm glad to hear that, she said.
Which? Trying to get into your bed? Or the trade? Alex said, unable to help himself.
Mary looked at him and shook her head with a smile. You're terrible. Haven't you had enough of this dumpy little barren widow?
I'm fairly certain if I had, I wouldn't be trying to get into your bed, now would I?
Mary rolled her eyes, her smile widening. Is that all you came here for? To bed me? She asked,
her foot moving up and down slowly in a controlled response.
Partially. You're quite deserving of a good bedding, you know. You're a lovely woman. Though it was also partially to see how you were doing, make sure you knew what was going on, that you could possibly expect to see Ridge make a move up this way.
You're just too direct for me, Alex. You're not supposed to admit such things, Mary said, her fingers locked tightly into one another.
As for how I'm doing, not so well.
Talk to me. I not only wish to hear your voice, but to bear your worries if I can, Alex said, leaning forward toward her.
Mary opened her mouth and then paused for a heartbeat.
Why not? She said, giving him a bitter smile.
It's not as if you don't hold terrible truths about me already. My uncle is working to have me removed as Baroness. He wants to put my niece into the position and wed her immediately. Apparently, I'm no use to him as a barren widow. I'll be set aside and retired to a home out in the country, I imagine.
She looked to the side, staring at nothing.
My poor niece will go through everything I did, though with no one around willing to help her. I doubt my uncle will be as kind with her as he was with me in the early days. I imagine she'll be pregnant in a year, or a mistress will be, and damn the consequences.
Alex considered that. It wasn't a bad political play on the Count's part. Realistically, it was rather valid.
And yet, this is a possibility for me to make a move. As a de jure vassal, none could fault her for changing her allegiance to me, especially if I have her sealed up on more than 50% of her borders.
Swear yourself to me, Mary. I'll reaffirm you as Baroness and leave your succession to you to handle, Alex said suddenly.
Mary's head whipped around toward him, her brows pinched together.
Are you mad? She asked in an angry whisper.
Not at all. You're my de jure vassal. You could easily switch your alliance over to me in a heartbeat without repercussion. And once I've taken the title of the Count of Ridge, you'll be nearly surrounded by me. If you wait till that happens, maybe I'll turn you into a concubine for a while before I reaffirm you as the Baroness, Alex said, smiling at her.
Mary's eyes were full of her thoughts. Clear as day to him, she was weighing out her options.
It's not as if you have an alternative, unless you want to be moved out to a home in the middle of nowhere. If you do, I promise I'll treat your niece as politely as I would if it were you. Consider it a gift for what we shared the last time we spent the night together.
Though I can't promise I won't raid your manor house and carry you back to turn you into a concubine anyways. That, and to make sure you're treated well.
Mary snorted at that in a very unladylike manner.
You're a cad. You really would bind me as a concubine, just to make a point of it. That, and try to sweet-talk your way into my niece's bed, as she'd become the Baroness, Mary said.
Then she threw up her hands in defeat. Pressing her fingertips to the pin at the collar of her dress, she gave him a flat stare.
As the de jure vassal of the Britt family, I hereby accept the request to transfer my vassalage to him during this time of war, Mary said.
Dropping her hand in her lap, she quirked a brow at him.
You'd better be able to save me, or so help me, I'll haunt you.
Of course. I wouldn't be able to try and sneak into your bed or make you my personal concubine if you weren't among the living, now could I?
Since I'm among the living, and clearly unwed and barren, why would my lord need to sneak into my bedroom? Mary said, standing up.
Is that an inva-
If you have to ask, then no. Mary said, staring down at him.
Lead on, Baroness, lead on.
The next morning, Alex met Andrew for the first time in the courtyard of the keep. He was a bigger man, broad and wide, with a smile on him that he seemed to wear constantly, mischievous even. His muted blue eyes didn't help that impression either.
Sir, Andrew said, Powell's Cavaliers, ready for orders.
Great. Get everything sorted out with Max and Dave. They have what you need to know, Drew. Drew? The man mouthed, unsure.
He does that,
Max muttered, holding out his forearm in a shake to the other soldier.
Names get shortened considerably.